Well, it's with joy and pleasure that we bring Vladimir and Ina back with us, the Pickmans, who are stationed in Berlin, Germany, is where God has them right now. And as you know, they are scheduled to go back the first part of June. And so Dr. Toussaint is going to have the opportunity to hear Vladimir speak this morning. Not any pressure on Vladimir, but there's no grades given here, but... It's a good opportunity because normally Dr. Toussaint's out of town when Vladimir speaks. So great opportunity. I don't know what they have in store for us, but this is one of our missionaries from around the world that is here with us now. You guys want to come up and share the word that God's given you?
Well, I also don't know what God has in store for you this morning. I'm just kidding. I have approximate idea. Well, good morning and shalom. It's a joy to be with you this morning again. Yes, we're leaving in about a month, but let me give you some reports about what God is doing here in Dallas while we are here, because it's exciting and hopefully it can be also very encouraging for you, and especially for you to talk with your Jewish friends or neighbors or Jewish people that you meet. Let me give you just a couple of stories briefly. I was teaching in one Indian church a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about sharing the gospel with the Jewish people, and one of the members of this church, one of the leaders, got motivated to talk to to the Jewish people he know, and he's a chaplain in the hospital. And the very next day after I spoke, he had a chance to talk to one of the chief doctors of this hospital, who happened to be a Jewish man. And he asked him, "Would you like to have a lunch with my friend who is a Messianic rabbi, who is a Jewish believer?" And he agreed. So we came for this lunch. We're sitting with my friend. We're waiting for him for about an hour. He's not there. Well, we cannot get hold of him. We're about to leave. And something held us for another 5 minutes. And then this man came. He asked me. He asked me about my story. I shared that gladly, and then he told me a little bit of his story, and we talked about Jesus. And he was very intentional about listening. His life circumstances are pushing him this way, and he was very happy actually to talk to somebody to a Jew who believes in Jesus. And a few days later, we met with his wife and him together for dinner. And you know, in American culture, dinner together, like in restaurant, it's like, 2 hours, right? We were sitting in a restaurant for 3 hours. And then we left, and then we came back because we couldn't stop talking, primarily about Yeshua, about Jesus. And now we are looking forward to meet his extended family for Shabbat, and he wants his entire family to listen about Jesus and about what we believe in. He said that he never heard anything like this or the gospel presented to him from a Jewish standpoint. He never considered Jesus not just the Christ for the nations, but also the Messiah of Israel. Another example, eating good American food, I need to go to a fitness center sometimes. Just to keep me in a good shape, well, in approximately good shape. So I'm doing my exercise there. And it's in the Baylor Hospital, close to campus of Dallas Theological Seminary. So I'm doing my workout there, and two students call me, just come. I'm coming, and there is an Israeli also doing his exercise. And we started talking, And the next time I see him there, I bring him this book, Isaiah 53 Explained. I give him this book, and we talk again. And next time we see each other, we talk again. And he tells me the way he's doing his business here in Dallas. And I listen to him, and I say, well, you do your business according to the Torah, actually. And before he told me, I don't believe in God. So, and he said to me, what do I know about the Torah? So I mentioned to him a couple of commandments that he fulfills by doing this his business, particularly this way. And he was listening with interest. And then I told him, you know, you sound like a very godly man. And he said, well, I don't know how godly I am, so I don't know what God will say when I stand before him. The man who just told me that he doesn't believe in God. Yeah, now he's concerned about standing before God. As soon as he told me that, I'm going like, yes. And immediately the next move that I'm doing in this chess play, quote unquote, that's why I believe in Jesus. Because I want to stand before God and not to be afraid. And we talk about Jesus again. So it's two examples. I don't remember whether I mentioned the story of this Isaiah 53 book last time. I talked to you about like one lady took this book and in order to give to somebody she knew, but then she was on a valet parking, didn't have money to give like a tip, and instead she was feeling like giving this book to the man who was serving there, and she told him like almost like in the book of Acts, so I don't money I don't have but what I have I'm going to give you this book. And he's taking this book and he looks at this book and he says, well, it's from my Bible, from my Hebrew Bible, from my Jewish Bible. You can't believe how much I need it these days. And he starts crying. He takes this book and only God knows what was going on in his heart since then. Or another lady listening to a teaching I was giving about Romans 11:11 to provoke Jewish people to jealousy. And it's the purpose, a purpose for the Gentiles to come and be saved in Jesus, to bring the Jewish people also to be jealous. And this lady comes for lunch with her Jewish friend immediately after. And her Jewish friend never was willing to listen about Jesus. But suddenly, for that afternoon, she came and said, you know, I have some problems, for whatever reason, with number 11. I don't know why. I even cannot see the number on a clock. And then this lady who was just in the Bible study remembered that we were talking about Romans 11:11, and she started talking about Jesus, about Yeshua, and her Jewish friend was very interested in doing that. A special prayer request for the next week, actually, in this regard is we are doing a special social in gathering or social event in a house in a very Jewish neighborhood, inviting Christians to invite their Jewish friends for us to talk about some topics of interest. And having Jesus in mind, but not being like aggressively evangelistic. So it's not like an evangelistic crusade. Or not like evangelistic sermon. It's more like interaction. And its overarching title is Jews and Christians Talking Together. So we're going to talk with each other. And this time the title is Standing Against Rising Anti-Semitism and How Jewish is Christianity. And many Jewish people I invited to this event, including one of the most prominent rabbi of Dallas, a Reform rabbi. So please pray. It's on Wednesday night. and we're excited about this event. It could take a couple of hours, actually, for me to share more and more stories of, and testimonies related to that. But please be encouraged to pray for the Jewish people, for them to be saved, and be encouraged to share the gospel, to talk about Yeshua, about Jesus, with your Jewish friends. Tell them that Jesus is their Messiah. Everything good and every blessing, everything what you have in Jesus, you have because of the Messiah of Israel, the King of the Jews. So please talk to them about this. Make the bridge to them. Share the gospel from the Jewish perspective. Tell them that you love Jewish people because your Savior is Jewish, because the gospel that you believe in has its Jewish roots, its Jewish essence, its Jewish origin. And if you need, I have some copies with me again, this book, Isaiah 53 Explained, a very good read for the Jewish people, very inoffensive. So if you have somebody you would like to give this book to, please get it from me. It's free to be given out, as I usually say. If you want to read this book, read it, but carefully, and then don't put it on your shelf. Give it to somebody who needs it, primarily to a Jewish person, because it's the most relevant. Now, before I will come to actually the teaching that I'm going to deliver this morning, you know, we Jewish people, we follow the traditions. Traditions, it's important. So we have one tradition. I speak inner things. So we need to follow this tradition. I cannot talk without inner performing a song, right? So we yeah. It's better now. Well, if you need a couple of minutes, I can talk. Actually, by the way, if you have any questions regarding how to reach out to your Jewish friends, or you want to arrange like a lunch or meal with for me to talk to your Jewish friend, I have my cards with my cell phone number while in United States with my email. Let's do it. So I would love, I would be delighted to answer your questions. I would love to send you a link with a seminar for you to download audio recording of the seminar, how to share the gospel with your Jewish people. So please get this card from me, and please contact me if you need to. Was there a question?
That's what I was going to ask.
Okay, good, excellent. And by the way, if you're not, if you would like to receive our prayer letters directly from us, there is a brochure. If you haven't seen it before, get this from us as well, and you can fill out this card and give it back to us before you leave. So please consider this as well.
The song will be in English, and it's from the Isaiah 53, partly. Crushed and afflicted for all iniquities. When my killing shoddy seat. He was slain, the righteous and holy one. For our transgressions he was pierced. So let me be thankful for your love, and let me keep you in my heart. I want to come into your presence every time I'm waking up. So let me follow your advice, and let me always be that wise. There's nothing better than in Yeshua to arise. And therefore he will get portion among the greatest of all.
By the way, if you don't have enough CDs, we have a couple still available with us. And it's not a commercial, just a possibility for you to be blessed. you can come and get it from us after the study. Well, the last thing that we were doing with you together, what we were participating in with you, was a Passover meal. Many of you were taking part in the Passover meal with us. It was such a joy. As I taught here for the first time, and Dr. Tosain was not here at that time, but I was talking about Jewish holidays, because it was the fall holiday season, and I gave you like overview of all the holidays. And then the second time I was speaking here, if I'm not mistaken, I was teaching about the Jewishness of the gospel. So the gospel is Jewish in its core, because the gospel is the good news for the Jews, as we know from the Gospel of Luke or Gospel of Matthew. So it's just like the angels, the prophets, the people, the righteous, everybody is so happy that the salvation, redemption, and deliverance has come to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. So before it is revealed as the light for all nation, it was the good news for the Jews. So to the Jew first. It's very core of the gospel, according to the gospels, to the writers of the New Testament. So now, we talked about holidays. We talked about Jewishness of the gospel. And we celebrated Passover together. And this month, we're approaching the next feast, Shavuot, Pentecost. It's natural for me to round it up what I was talking with you about before in approaching the Feast of Pentecost. You remember, the feasts in the Bible, it's not just the celebratory events. It's more than that. These are the appointments, the times that God appointed in his calendar to meet with people for certain occasions. Like once a week for Shabbat, but also during a year for certain occasions, as he indicated. Now, we celebrated Passover. Is it the end? No, it's just the beginning. We were talking about it. It's just the beginning, because the Passover, according to the God's calendar, Yeshua died. The first fruits, the first day after Passover Shabbat, he was risen. But that's not all yet. There is a continuation. It's not finished yet. It's not completed yet. Something was missing. So let me turn with you to Acts chapter 1. And I'm pretty sure that you know this story by heart. You have read the gospel, the book of Acts chapter 1 and 2 so many times. And I'm pretty sure that Dr. Toussaint taught you these passages and mentioned this many times. But let me just... bring a little bit of this emphasis to something what I want you to see here. And maybe you know that already, but still, repetition is the mother of learning. Let me do this. So in chapter 1, in verse 4, we read, gathering them together, he, Yeshua, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father has promised, which he said, you heard from me. Verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, Jesus' death and his resurrection was not the end. It was the beginning. And it's very appropriate also for the Jewish calendar. The day of the first fruits, you start counting. You start counting the omers, the garb offerings. So you shake it before God, and you count it, like first day, second day, third day, fourth day, so day after day for 49 days. And then on the 50th day, we celebrate Shavuot, the day of Pentecost. What does Pentecost mean? It's related to the number 50. So it's the 50th day. Again, it's not the feast by itself, it's the appointment in the calendar. You count the days. After the Passover, after the first fruits, you start counting. What the count means usually? It's, you know, the terminology countdown. This is the count up, if there is such word in English, I don't know. But it's like you're counting. It means the process is going. The process is going on, and it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 45, 46, 47, 49, 50. And the process is like over at the number of 50. So they were counting. Jesus died. He is risen. But that's not all. That's not all. They were still missing something, as you can see in the verse 4 that we just read. Verses 4 and 5 say that they were still missing a significant part of the life that Yeshua, Jesus, promised and brought to this earth. The promise was not fulfilled yet, even the promise about his first coming, so to speak. It was not completed yet. It was not fulfilled yet until the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes. So the Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, this counting feast, had to be the like a final dot, final like period, the end of what was started with the day of Pentecost. As we saw in the story of the fall feasts of Israel, it was the Pentecost was the end, like let's say the first part of the book, or like the first chapter. There is the second one coming, but after the summer, according to the Jewish calendar. And I do believe that right now we live in the summer. The second chapter, the second set of the appointments in God's calendar, prophetic calendar, is coming, approaching. But we are talking still about the Shavuot, about the Feast of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit had to come to complete what Jesus did during the Passover season on the Pesach as he was dying and he was rising from the dead. You know, if you are asked, what is the gospel? How the gospel sound? The answer that we usually hear is Jesus died for our sin, was buried, rose from the dead. Yeah, it's according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But there is also, I think that Paul has his purpose of giving just this part of the gospel. It's not the whole gospel. And it's not the full gospel. And I'm not talking now Pentecostal or charismatic stuff about full gospel. It's not full, it's not complete, because there is more to that. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is a good news as well. And the good news is, we are going to be risen. We are going to get new bodies. The dead people are going to be risen. The dead and the Messiah are going to be risen for life. And we are going to get new bodies. It's a good news because look at our bodies. Yeah. It would be not a good news for us if there is no resurrection or transformation for our bodies. Well, and we already talked that salvation of Israel is also part of the gospel, but the giving of the Holy Spirit is also part of the good news. Because without the Spirit, there is no possibility being born again. There is no possibility to live the life that God wants us to live. So it's also like part of the gospel. Now, see the reaction of the disciples in verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, they were asking Yeshua, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? You see, it's a good question. You know this question. You read this before, you heard this. Now, let me emphasize something. In their mind, the good news, even after Jesus' death and his resurrection, was for the Jews. It's still about Israel. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. But it's still about Israel. They're still concerned with the Israel. And Israel here is Israel. I mean, not like spiritual Israel. The Spirit has not come yet. You know, it's not like the church. The church is not there yet, like we know it today. So it's, the question is about Israel. And Jesus could answer to them, like, for example, well, there is no real Israel any longer. You know, I'm risen. I'm not a Jew any longer. I'm just new, like, cosmic creature of, like, no male, no female, just something in between, some strange creature. No, he never said that. But you see, that even in this question, the gospel is for Israel, for the Jew first. And it's not just priority or sequence of time. It's the very essence of the gospel. Look, I don't mean that, again, I always need to repeat it because I'm Jewish myself. It's not that the Jewish people are better or they got more of the gospel. No. Everybody got the same, and everybody is loved by God in the same way. I mean, for me, my first degree was mathematics. So for me, the eternity, you know, this sign 8 that is horizontal, was always like a mystery. How can it be eternal? There should be some end somewhere. God loves us. Like eternal and without any end, without any limits. And there in eternity, there is no distinction. I mean, he loves us so much that you cannot even see the difference. Because it's so huge, we even cannot comprehend it. But still, coming to Jesus, you're coming to the King of the Jews. Still, joining Jesus, you joining the gospel that is in its essence Jewish. And for the Israel, I'm sorry. And again, I'm not really. I'm sorry for those of you who may not like that. Just, what can you do? Yeah, it's okay. It's good. Yeah, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. If you don't like it, that's okay. I have a few more minutes, and I have like 20 minutes more to speak, so that's okay. Look, and this question at the, about the end times is very important question for many of us. We always concern about the times and about seasons. When is it coming? Today we read many books and hear many preachers telling about the times, end times approaching, because of this and because of that, because of this event and that event. Personally, I think that we're approaching the times because Israel is as the country exists, and because the support for Israel is declining worldwide, so Israel is going, humanly speaking, either disappear as a country, like in a decade from now, or Yeshua, Jesus, is going to come back soon. Another evidence for me that Yeshua is coming back soon is the growing number of the Jewish people who believe in Jesus. I think it's also a sign of the end time. But at the same time, Jesus says in verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you," in verse 8, "but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." We are not to be concerned too much about the end times. I mean, it's very interesting. It's very important for us to be aware. But let me give you another example. Just recently happened to me. Somebody invited me for lunch, not just to treat me for a good meal, but to discuss with me a book. A Messianic Jewish leader wrote a book that is New York Times bestseller. I'm not going to name it. I'm not going to say his name. Some of you maybe know this book. But in this book, he's like connecting the events in United States today with what happens there in the Torah and with some. How to avoid the more direct connection to this. So it's just connection of what is there in the Torah with the events of today. And many believers are getting so excited. It's just like the end of the world coming this year. It's already now, or at least like economic crisis and collapse, and all the stuff is just now at the hand. So she was willing to talk to me as to a Jewish believer and Jewish theologian. What I think about it. So I came for this lunch, and look, it was not a just theological question. She's very well, this woman is very wealthy, and she was thinking about whether to relocate her investments, like millions and millions of investments, because of this book. How can I answer this question? I mean, just, can you imagine? Theological answer, worth of millions. I didn't like that too much, but I couldn't go back. I'm asked about the Bible, so I need to do that. Well, at the same time going there, I was feeling, I'm so happy that I don't have this problem. If the economy collapses, well, I'm losing $10. It's fine. Just it's good feeling. I mean, I'm not afraid of any economic collapse. I may better not collapse, but still, if it is, just, well, I'm not going to be broken. I'm broken already. So just anyway, I told her that it's that the book that he has written has no biblical foundation of biblical base at all. It's not biblically based. And he reinterpreted the events and the biblical commandments in his way. At the same time, he names in this book the date for the event. And I said, you know, could it happen on this day? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. The book is not biblical, but and the idea there is not biblical, but it may happen any day. I cannot give you an answer what to do with your finances or what to do with your life in this regard. But if you believe in Yeshua, listen to what he said. Be his witness. Think about the times approaching. You can read the signs of the time, but not for you to be paralyzed, but for you to be energized in the power of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel, to share about Yeshua to everyone, wherever you go and wherever you live. You see what is written here? You will receive the Spirit, and the Spirit will give you power to be his witnesses. It's not so much about end times. It's about the time now. It's not about what you can do in the future. It's about what you have to do now. So the Spirit was going to come. The Passover season had to come to its conclusion. But the reason for the Spirit to come was to give the believers his power, to share Jesus, to share the gospel with Jew and Gentile, with everybody. We know what happened in chapter 2. Of the book of Acts. Let us turn there. And let's read from verse 1. So the count up is over. So it's 49 and then 50. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. I will make a stop here. What we just read, according to the Jewish tradition, it's a perfect, absolutely perfect fulfillment of the Feast of Shavuot. It should be like that. The Feast of Shavuot, the Pentecost, in the Jewish mind, was connected to the giving of the Torah on the Mount of Sinai and making the covenant. So the Jewish people during the Pentecost, during the Shavuot season, they remembered, and it's not explicitly said in the Bible, but in the time of Yeshua, in the Jewish mindset, they were remembering the fact that God gave the Torah to the Jewish people and cut the covenant with them in the Feast of Shavuot. It may be true, because if you count the like the dates of the journey in the Old Testament, in the Torah, it could be about this time. So there are some reasons for that. But now we are not talking about exactly biblical fulfillment. We are talking about the fulfillment in Jewish mind of that time. So the Jewish tradition referring to the giving of the Torah at the Mount Sinai, they remember the fire and smoke. And you probably know that from your Bible. If you will compare this passage from Acts with the Greek translation of the Old Testament Septuagint, you will see the correspondence of even words in these passages. So it was like Mount Sinai event in the book of Acts chapter 2. So the Jewish people, they remembered fire. They remembered smoke. They remembered the sound of trumpet, or more precisely, ram's horn, shofar. It was like crashing wind. Have you heard shofar or ram's horn sound? It's like crashing wind. So it was all there. Fire, smoke, crashing wind. The Jewish people were receiving the Torah. Moses was getting this Torah. And according to Jeremiah 31, the Torah was to be internalized. It was going to be written on our hearts. Do you remember we celebrated Passover meal together? Do you remember the third cup, the cup of redemption, or the cup of the cup related to the covenant at the Mount of Sinai? We read Jeremiah chapter 31. So not just the blood of the Lamb, and not just the blood of Yeshua, not just his death, not just his suffering for the new covenant, but also the Holy Spirit that is bringing Torah in our hearts. There are so much debates in Christian circles regarding the tongues that they were speaking here. It's so much fun to understand that among the Jewish believers or Jewish people in Jerusalem at that time, there was no any questions about what's going on. That was just wondering, why is it now? How is it possible? But according to the Jewish tradition, according to the Jewish mindset, at the Mount of Sinai, God was giving the Torah to the people of Israel, but not only. You know, the Torah was to the Jew first, but not exclusively. The same as the New Testament, God was giving a chance to everybody who was standing there with the people of Israel to listen to the words of the Torah. And the Jewish tradition says the Torah, or the even the Ten Commandments, they were spoken by God in 70 languages of all the people. And the Jewish tradition in the ancient world, they thought that there are like 70 languages. Today, we know that there are many more than that. But at that time, it was like 70. And they could listen the words of the Torah in all these 70 languages. Everybody who was there could understand. It was not to the Jew only. It was to everybody. Without the disciples speaking in these different tongues for everybody. Look, it's written here. From all nations there were people, Jewish people and proselytes. From all nations that they knew on that time and who could come to Jerusalem. From all nations, they were standing there and they were listening and they could understand about the marvelous works of God. So this passage is not about the theology of speaking tongues or any spiritual gifts. It's about of the fulfillment of God's prophecy, of God's plan, of God's calendar that began in Jesus, in Yeshua, with the feast of Passover, and then the first fruit, his resurrection, and then the giving of the Holy Spirit. On the day as the Jewish people were commemorating the giving of the Torah, with the same signs, it was the perfect fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost that we see here. And now, I do believe that what we see with all these tongues is exactly what, or it reminds me what Jesus said in chapter 1, verse 8, "You will be my witnesses to all nations in whole world." When Spirit comes, he brings us the enablement to share the gospel with everybody. And it's not just language. It's more than that. It's his power to live and to speak in the way for Jesus to be glorified, in the way for Jesus to be appreciated, in the way for Jesus to be known. And I'm excited about the Shavuot. And before I conclude, let me remind, there is a second part of the calendar coming in the fall. It's going to be fulfilled. The first was fulfilled, the second will be fulfilled. What fascinates me, Pesach, first fruits, Shavuot, the events happened on exact dates. There are like the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles coming. Following the pattern, I would say, we need to be careful about those days. I mean, exact dates, not just seasons, dates. Something special happened for Passover. Jesus died for our sin. Something special happened for the day of the first fruit. Jesus was risen. Something special happened to the Feast of Shavuot. An exact day. It's God's calendar. The Spirit was given. The full feasts are approaching. The dates are set. I hope we are ready for that season. If we believe in Jesus, in his death, in his resurrection, if we are filled with his Spirit, we are looking forward to the full feasts, the full appointments to arrive. No fear, but joy. Amen. No fear, but joyful expectation. Anticipation of him coming back to us and taking us to the place he prepared for us to spend the eternity with him. That's worth to live for. That's worth to preach about. It's something what we are sharing with everybody, to the Jew first, but also to everybody we know. Amen. Let me pray in conclusion. Avinu, our Father, we are thankful for your grace and for your mercy. We are thankful for your plan in what you make us part of. We are part of your divine plan that you made even before the creation of this universe. And you revealed your plan to the people of Israel, and you were fulfilling this plan, and we are witnesses of this fulfillment. We praise you for Yeshua, Jesus, dying for our sin willingly, taking our sin away. We are praising you for the fact that he is risen, giving us an assurance that we are going to be alive with him. We are praising you for the fact that the Spirit of God started coming in fullness to those who believe and follow Jesus. And we are thankful that we are recipients of your Spirit by believing in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. I'm praising you for the fact that you give us by your Spirit strength to live the godly life in this world and to live and talk in the way for others to appreciate you and appreciate Yeshua even more. We praise you that Jesus, Yeshua, is coming back. We praise you that you will take us into your kingdom. We live in anticipation of this moment. We praise you for the spring feasts of Israel that are fulfilled in Yeshua, exact to the dates. And we are praising you for the glorious dates in the fall feasts, of the fall feasts that are still coming, still approaching. We love you. We appreciate you. Fill us with your Spirit to be your witnesses. Bless all of us and our families to be the place of your presence and your indwelling place. B'Shem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus. Amen.